Yeah, I've got to apologise. I'm quite tired because we had an incident at the primary school last night. Because you know we live four doors away from the primary school.
Well, this is
You've been there. I've
done gigs there.
I mean, sure, I said you'd be there for 20 minutes, but you were the whole day, and you did. You know, you did the staff room, and you hung around for the janitors. It's good of you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we shot. We filmed there. We filmed the Dave.
We did film there. Yes.
Yeah, the Dave. The pilot that will see the light of day one day. But you know.
Yeah.
When I hear the word school and incident, I've got to say I got a little worried.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It didn't. Well, so what happened was that they got a PA system which plays music for the bell. Because it's sort of hangover from the hippie era. It's kind of cute because instead of going ding, 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 they play whatever Beyonce and the kids dance and stuff and go into class. And
what? Yeah. Really? They dance into class?
Well, they don't have to, but some do. You know, like, it's cute.
At my school, if someone started dancing with a bell, they would get beaten up very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I know. Same here. But this is a different era we live in.
Yeah, fair enough.
And anyway, so at midnight, the music just starts really loud over the PA. The music starts playing. So it woke me up. I'm like, initially I thought the kids were playing music. So I get up, and then the second song starts. I'm like, oh no, there's something broken.
You know what it is.
I thought, but I went outside thinking it might be the neighbours or the young people across the road.
And did you go out in your pyjamas like we've talked about before?
Yeah. Summer pajamas.
So you've gone shorty legs and short arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did you check that you were that everything was...
Nothing was hanging out.
No.
I put a mask on and I wandered up
there. Good. I would have just gone up. I wouldn't have even thought about the mask anyway. Put a mask on your face. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I went up there. There was another dad who lives closer than... It would be really loud in his house. And he's like, there's no one in there. I don't know what's going on. Mm. I said, all right, I'll call the police. And they're like, yeah, we're getting lots of calls. We're sending a car out now. And so I go around to the front of the school to wait for the police because they don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? I've got to inform them. Yeah, I've got to be that annoying guy.
You're a good community member to stand there in your summer pajamas and...
Waiting for the cops.
Yeah.
Then the local drunk guy wanders up, who's kind of annoying. He's an older drunk guy. And he's knocked on our door before and complained about the music when we were playing any music. He's one of those guys. He gets the house wrong.
So he lives in your street. He lives
behind us. And he's like, what are they playing music at midnight? I'm going to go give him a piece of my mind. I'm like, mate, there's no one there. He's like, no, I've got to go. What a disgrace this is. And so he wanders up and he bangs on the door. And of course there's no one there. And then he wanders back out. And he's not wearing a mask, right? He's half pissed. Man. And then the cops rock up. And I'm like, he goes, oh, no, the police. And I go, you better go, mate. I might arrest you. And he sort of stumbles off. This huge copper gets out of the car, like a huge bloke, and he goes, hey, where are you going? To the drunk guy, right?
Yeah.
The drunk guy's like, oh, he looked so shocked, the poor old drunk guy. And then I said, oh, I'm one of the local dads. He's just a local. And I did the motion for drinking, you know, he's been a bit.
Yeah.
The cop goes, all right, you can go, mate. So he wanders off back into the school, right? Because that's the way he gets home, right? Then there was the big cop and then the young female constable, and she was a bit gung-ho, right? Yeah. So she's like, she's not talking to me. She's like in police mode, right?
Yeah.
And she's shining a torch around and she goes, I can see someone in the building. But what she'd shone a torch through the glass doors, through another set of glass doors, and she could see the drunk guy in the courtyard walking home.
That's a worry.
And the cop's like, Describe him. And she's like,
you're hearing this on the walkie-talkie. Yeah. You're hearing this through
They're right in front of me. But then she's describing him to another cop car that's around the back of the school. Describe the perp. Right. He's skinny. He's wearing a beanie, I think. I'm like, that's just the guy. But they're just ignoring me. And so then they all run off and there's another cop car rolls up and they had like three cars there. And then... They don't catch the drunk guy. He's gone.
He wouldn't have been a hard catch if they. No. He's not hurtling, flying over fences. He's just wandering very slowly and bumping into things.
And so they all wait about 10 minutes, and they're done. And the guy, you can hear them on the radios. We've got to cordon off the area. We got to, you know, all this police talk.
Yeah.
And then they just come back, and I say to the big guy, who's the only one that's listening to me, I said, there's no criminals involved. It's just a computer glitch on the system.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll show you where the PA system is. I'll come to the door and I'll point to it because I know where it is.
Yeah.
And then the female police officer was like, yes, we know, we've established that. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. So then the big cop said, we've rung, we're getting the keys. And, well, it took him another 20 minutes. And then the music played for an hour in total.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's why I'm tired. So that was from 12 to midnight. Then I couldn't go to sleep. I was on such a high.
I turned on the ABC the other night and there was this show on called Vera. And I didn't know
what it was.
But it was like this.
She's a woman who's a cop, a middle-aged woman, an older woman, yeah.
Yeah, but she lives in a farmhouse or something. And then she turns up to work and she's a crack cop. I'm thinking, this is a great series for you.
Yeah.
It's called Dave. And Dave just is called in on these sort of domestic situations where you cut to the chase and you go, look, this guy's a drunk guy. He's not involved. It's cool. And you would have this normal life, but when it came to solving crimes, you're the man. This is a job for Dave.
I'm like, when they go to outback areas, they get an Aboriginal tracker from the area who knows I'm like the guy around here in the northern suburbs. We'll get Dave in. All right. Yeah, so what's happened, Dave?
Yep.
Don't bother with him. He's a local lunatic. Yeah, he's an idiot.
And you always turn up in your pajamas and you probably got a hot chocolate or something.
Yeah.
Maybe you're eating a bit of toast or something, you know.
And that's the title, the pajama police. Pajama policeman.
Yeah. You'd be good. You wouldn't be.
You look at the cops and you go, oh, I'm older than all those guys and I've got a bit more wisdom than them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The young copper was so gung ho that there was a criminal activity going on. It's not a criminal activity. There was no crime.
Yeah. Anyway.
You can be in it. You can be the seasoned cynical detective who goes,
I'm a bit more hard line, am I?
Yeah, and you're like, don't talk to him. All right, we're not getting Dave.
Oh, you and I don't get on because we do eventually. Oh, that's the outcome of it. We both realize that there's wisdom in both of our approaches.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But that doesn't come until the very end when my life is under threat and you step in simply and save my life. And then we
did go out with the same woman in the 80s, so that's a point of contention.
Oh, okay. All right. And the post-credit would be you and I having a bit of toast back at your place.
The post-credit is you start wearing pajamas on the job. I like it. That's good. The pajama police.
And then... that new show, Dave, been discontinued. That's interesting. Dave and Glenn Roberts, it didn't get up for a second season. That's funny. I don't know why.
What happened? They didn't wear cod pieces and there was some stuff showing that they didn't realise in their shorty pajamas. It scared the children.
And can I say, the theme for the show would go something like this.
Yeah. Wow, there we go. Exciting in the neighbourhood.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast and hello to anyone who's just joined.
Let's be honest. I'm sure there's some police out there who might be listeners and would understand exactly all the things you're and it probably have. A
well,
code
they did
name.
A good job, really. They did a good job. Yeah.
Was there any code numbers? Well, this is a 746. You know, I mean, they have code names.
No, they didn't know. They use words like cordon off the area and the perp. Oh, I can see the perp. You know.
So
it's all very exciting.
Because we had an incident in our house, and I remember and they had the kid, and they sat him down in the gutter, handcuffed, and the kid was going, I didn't do it. And the policeman said, tell it to the magistrate. I'm thinking, I don't know. I reckon that one went out some time ago. I reckon we need to update the lingo, tell it to the magistrate.
Is it going to get to the magistrate? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Donald Trump might be listening because he's lost the election, so he might be just kicking back and I might find a new podcast to listen to.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Would you call him Mr. President? Would you call him Don? Would you call him Donald? What would you call him?
Mr. Trump, maybe. Maybe he'd be listening to this story going, I tell you what I would have done. This is what I would have done. Yeah. Anyway, we get two topics and we've got to work out how they're related. Should we get our topics from Sam?
Yeah, please. Where you go, Sam?
Tennis balls and David Attenborough.
Wow. Okay. David Attenborough. And it's Sir David Attenborough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. And he's 90. I mean, he's had a bit of a... Interesting, I was just reading a review of his book in the paper because he's had that Netflix show, which I've got to watch.
Which is the one where we're all doing bad things. Humans are awful.
But it's tied to his life, which is
interesting. Oh, so it's biographical. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, kind of, but biographical, and because he was born in like 11 in 1937 or something like that. So he's born in the 20s, I think. And it just shows him as a kid and then what was going on in the world and now what's going on in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you probably don't remember this, but we met the producer.
Yes.
You remember that?
We did, at the pub.
Yeah.
She was nice.
She was lovely, except I think I offended her. We didn't meet her at the pub. We were recording something, and she was a friend of
a friend. Me and you, and we were there, and we had an idea, and we were just trying it out over lunch, and we invited Brad Oakes, another comedian, and Jess McGuire.
Correct.
Radio broadcaster.
Yeah, she's great.
Brought along this friend of hers from England, and then we just started talking.
What do you do?
What do you do? And she said, I'm Dave Attenborough's producer.
Yeah. And she, and I offended her.
I'd forgotten that. Yeah. How did you offend? Because she was really nice.
She was nice. But I've always thought, and this is a little bit cynical, I always thought, I reckon there's some animation in there. I reckon that they're, when they show a.
I remember now, yeah.
When there's two lizards, I reckon this is just two lizards. There's not eight lizards because there was this promo where there were these snakes chasing something up a hill and you're going, there's 25 snakes. Do you remember this promo? It's like 25 snakes chasing, I don't know, some animal up through some rocks. I'm going, I just reckon they've just repeated on the snakes and clicked a few extra ones in there. And I said to her, is there any animation involved? And that is, I think, probably the ultimate insult. I don't know why I said it. I thought I was being clever. And yeah, I got to be honest, she wasn't that nice to me after that. and rightly so. I inferred that her show does have no credit. But I don't know. I reckon if you look closely, when they do a wide shot of a whole lot of whales, you go, I reckon they've bunged a few extra ones in there because it's not hard to bunk a few extra ones in there.
Not these days. No. But it goes back to remember the lemmings, and they did a documentary on the lemmings and they had that thing where they believe that lemmings threw themselves over a cliff. Remember they're like sort of guinea pigs?
Yeah.
But then it was proven that the producers just threw them over the cliff.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And it was all, but that was a famous case. And so from that point on, people were a bit sus on wildlife documentaries, I reckon.
Yeah. You don't like to be, because there's no doubt what he's doing is fantastic. And he's always been, you know, that he started at the BBC as cameraman, was it? But he worked up to management.
He used to be in charge of the BBC. I know that much.
Yeah. So
get him mixed up with his brother, David Attenborough, or Richard Attenborough.
I only remember him in Jurassic Park. I can't remember any other stuff he did.
Great Escape. He was in The Great Escape.
Oh, he was too.
But he turned into the guy that would play the old, I think he was in Raiders of the Lost Ark, he played the old professor kind of type.
Yeah. And played it well. You know.
But he's dead. His brother outlived him, obviously. So incredible.
Yes, he was 94. Apparently Attenborough's had like a whole lot of animals named after him.
Well, yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
I mean, can't you? Why? I mean, he's doing great. He's doing great stuff for the animal kingdom. But you know, look at that. What would you call it? An Attenborough?
Addy the ant.
It's an ant. It's a pygmy possum.
Well, you stop
it's
a at
snake.
One. He's probably
you'd
got
stop
planets.
At one.
He's probably
stop
got planets
at one.
And stars named after him too.
Would you? You go on.
I want an animal named after me?
Yes.
I'd probably rather a bridge.
A city? A bridge?
No,
or an animal?
A bridge.
No, a bridge.
A park.
And you want on a plaque.
It's so funny. It makes me laugh every time I walk past it. Up on Holaberg Road, there is a, in the middle of busy roads, they have like a green strip.
Yeah.
and they've got a sign that says the Harold Ross Reserve on it, or I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
But I looked him up and he was a state cricketer. But how shit's that? Getting the medium strip in the 8-line road named after you. No thanks.
Some of the theatres in Melbourne here, that often you can buy a seat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting on the Glen Robbins. Oh, I'm sitting on Barry Humphreys. Yeah, yeah.
or you can buy a. Sometimes there'll be a park bench. I reckon I'm more of a park bench guy than a theatre guy. I don't think I'm a bridge guy, but I mean, and I think sadly, and I've seen like drinking fountains at golf courses where they've gone, this is for Percy.
Not really?
Yeah, old Percy. Having a drink from Percy's fountain. And I wouldn't want to be a drinking fountain. No.
You're a park bench by the beach, looking out to the
beach. Oh, yeah, because I would often sit there and
A car park, the Glen Robbins car park.
You're giving me a car park.
But all on right, the foreshore, okay. Nice. Only about 10 spots.
And that was where I used to sit and have a little sleep while the cleaning lady was in the house, and I didn't want to
do other things. Whatever,
just go and have a little sleep down by the bay. What I was going to say about
he's the one who does the voice, isn't he? Famous, yeah, people have been parodying him since the Comedy Company, haven't they? He used to do
well. You know that he got. I think he was one of the people who greenlighted Monty Python.
Oh wow.
So, you know, seriously, I quite like Python, but I'm probably not as crazy about it as other people. But that was a big turning point in sketch comedy, you know, absolutely.
I like their movies. I missed this TV series, really, but I like Life of Brian. And
it was 70s, Jabberwocky. I think.
Yeah, Python. 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did the voice, didn't he? So he did the...
And I can't do the voice.
Yeah. Look at them now emerging from their shells.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Because I remember I wrote a sketch for Full Frontal, which they never did, called The Piss Maggots. And it was like, he was positioned outside a pub at closing time. And it was like, and here they come. It's 1 a.m. in the morning. And they come out and the mating ritual begins, you know.
And there, look, one bounce the other appropriately, and there. They're making love to...
And in the alleyway. But hang on, someone's relieving themselves next to them and they're shocked, you know. The males fight for the female. But they never filmed it. Because what...
Well, they never filmed it.
Nah. Oh, comedy gold, you'd reckon.
Mm. I read years... I remember this years ago. Because there used to be... Like, remember staring competitions where you have to stare into someone's eyes?
Because
I remember there was a sketch... Sketch, what show?
Yeah, the staring competition. Yeah,
it was a cartoon, wasn't it?
What show was that on? Smith and Jones or something?
One of those that era. Anyway, David Attenborough had a staring competition with a gorilla and he won.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, I thought, because I know with some dogs and with domestic animals, if you stare them in the face for too long, they'll just go. Do you want to have a crack at me? Are you having a go at me?
Yeah, you don't
stare. And I reckon with a gorilla, if you just stared at a gorilla, I reckon it'd go, because gorillas can pull your face off in one sort of one move. Yeah. They can pull your head, you probably pull your head off your shoulders.
Do you reckon he did much of that just sitting in the. There's a guy at. Years ago, we went for a tour of a kindergarten. You got to try and impress the kindergarten teachers, like to get in. Kindergartens are competitive these days. I don't know if you know this, but it's just
competitive.
What? Well, so people want to get their kids into certain ones.
So
one by the Yarra, and it was very bushy and very sort of environmental focused. And this woman, the teacher, goes, "We're in environmental school here." And this guy, this dad, puts his hand up. He goes, "Oh yeah, well, that's good. I'm a National Geographic photographer." I'm like, really? He goes, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No, he was. Yeah. No, he was. I've met him since. He is. He's the only Australian one. And he said he'd just come back from the Amazon where he'd been in a hide or whatever for a month trying to get a photo.
So he's bringing this up to get a little bit of cred
To get his kid in there.
And what are the kids going to... So what are they going to do? They're just going to... Is he going to give a talk?
He said that. He goes, I could come and give a talk and I'll bring in some animals and stuff and I'll show him. And the woman goes, oh, that'd be amazing. I said to my wife, I'll just go sit in the car now.
You've got plenty to offer. You could do some... stand-up routines. You could do
yes, do a benefit.
You know, yeah, you can. You do some pretty good impressions.
But I wonder if David Attenborough must have done some of that if he's a wildlife. Or does he just wait till the stuff comes back into the studio? Does he actually go out in the field? I think he does.
I think he probably there was a time, yeah. But I get the feeling now that some they go out there and they shoot it, and then he just sits there, you know, with a cup of cocoa.
Well, if you're 94, you're not.
Yeah, but you know, stop. You know, if you can't get out there and get amongst it, you know, you're not really doing it, Dave. You know.
Yeah, true.
You know, he's just lending his. No, I'm being.
I've had half an hour with the police and I'm buggered. So yeah, he's out in the jungle in the Amazon for hours on end.
Yeah.
Well, he's done an amazing job, and we should all watch that thing on Netflix, which I haven't watched.
So, I watched half of it, and everything he was saying was spot on. And yeah, we're the bad guys, and what we're doing is wrong, and we are destroying the world. The world is laughing at us, though. It's going, you can do what you like. I'll be here in a few more million years. So I don't
really care what you're doing. Yeah. In the review in the paper, it says it starts at Chernobyl and it shows how humans have ruined this area with nuclear fallout or whatever it was. And then it ends at Chernobyl where the wildlife have taken it back over. And it says they'll still be there once we're gone. Yeah.
Heavy,
man. I'm not going to smoke a bong and watch that show. That'd be too heavy, man. You're like, oh, man.
Because I'm sure this relates, but I was cutting back my creeper the other day, and my creeper has got up the side of the house in under the roofing, and there's all these bits of creeper going right up the side of the house. I'm thinking, if I came back in, 50 years, I reckon the creeper would take over the house and probably pull it down.
Well, imagine
nature will always win.
Imagine when you're 94 and you're in the house and Slender's left you, and all the tree guys have died. You're the only one left. You'd just be surrounded by foliage and stuff. Like,
I reckon she fell into the creeper, and the creeper just... She went out one day to get the mail, and she never came back, and I would find her. When I cut back a bit of the creeper, she'd be in there. Just,
And there'd be a court case.
And I'll go, the great creeper incident of 2000 and... what year would it be? 40. Say 20 years from now. Give me a few more years.
Well, let's do tennis balls then. Oh,
tennis balls. You know, when I think of I played charity tennis matches, which are fun. And
I did one once. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who have you played? Well, I reckon you would have played really impressive people, but we did one for the radio where I played one of the Macs. You know.
That's impressive. That's how I met one of the Macs.
And you know what happened, though? I said, you hit like a girl, and he hit the ball so hard and hit me on the wrist. It still hurt for like a month later.
Yeah, that's right. I think I played in a ballroom on the dance floor with those guys at a charity event somehow. I can't quite remember.
Right.
But I was playing in this one, and I can't remember, but it was a newsreader from Sydney. I had to be flown up to Sydney for it, and it was all for charity, and we were mic'd up, and he was serving. I won't say what his name was. He was serving, and he said, "Where would you like it?" And I said, "How about in the dressing rooms after the game? But can we just finish the match first?"
Comedy gold.
How about in the change room? Anyway, then I realized kids are watching. I thought, no, that's inappropriate. Oh, anyway, a couple of weeks later, he had a heart attack. So I'm sort of putting two and two together. He was so traumatized by my inappropriate joke about me having sex with him in the change room. It's led on to him having a heart attack, and he went on to retire and didn't read any more news. So...
Wow!
Yeah,
your charity match caused that. Well, who's the biggest tennis star that you met? You reckon? I met Pat Cash.
I met Pat Cash. No, I met you. Pat Cash met you. And look, as we know, I'm quite good mates with Paddy Rafter. That's a calling. We're up in Byron.
Yeah, and
we're
he texted you.
Byron Bay, and the phone rang, and you went, "Who's that?" And because Chris Hemsworth had called us the night before, and then Pat Rafter, you're going, it's just celebrities everywhere, you know. And all people turned up to the show, and, you know.
Bernard Fanning from Powderfinger.
Yeah. So, yeah, Pat Rafter. Who else? I met John McEnroe's brother. Pat McEnroe. He's a nice guy. Right. Who else? I'm sure I've met other ones. Do you go to the... I love going to the tennis.
No, I used to, but not for a long time. Just because my mum and dad used to like it. So I used to get free tickets.
I used to get free tickets. It's fantastic. I was at one tennis match, and we were right... And I met Jimmy Connors. Oh, there you go. Wow.
He's famous.
Jimmy Connors was brought over to me to meet me, and they said, this is Glenn Robbins. He's a body, body, blah. And I went, and you are? Ha! And... I don't think he cared. Fair enough, too. You meet some bloke, comedy characters. Who cares? Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and this kid comes down and just takes the seat next to me. And he's watching the match. I'm going, who are you? Where are you?
Seat filler.
What are you doing?
Seat filler.
And, and then, you know, just as the crowd goes quiet, he would sing out, come on, that's it. Let's go. you know that really annoying. Let's go. What is it? Let's go, Aussie.
Let's go, Aussie. Let's go, Aussie. Let's go.
And I'm going. I'm thinking to myself, shut up, because as he would do it, they would all turn and look at me and go, "Shut your kid up." And I'm going, "It's not my kid. It's not my kid."
I love it. So
I'm sitting there going, "This is embarrassing," and the cameras are coming over. Jimmy Connors is over there. He's giving me a dirty look. Anyway, so I wander up. And I get a security guard. I go, see that kid there? You're not meant to be seated there. And the security guard goes down, taps him on the shoulder, escorts him out, and enjoyed the rest of the match. Except in the final set, they're going into the final game, and I just hear from right up at the top, I just hear this little kid go, let's go, Aussie, let's go, let's go, Aussie, let's go.
It was probably a make-a-wish kid. You probably ruined his life,
that kid. Probably did.
What do you want to do? Oh, I want to go to the tennis and sit next to Glenn Robbins and sing, let's go, Aussie, let's go. Tennis balls are a great invention, though, aren't they, really? You know what I think of, though?
Labradors? Yes, no, or the ladies down the park with those extended sticks.
Yes.
You know those ladies.
But also, as a kid, a wet tennis ball.
Oh, wet tennis ball, playing brandy. Yeah, play brandy. I reckon I don't know, there are people who just didn't have anything to do with tennis, but you'd always have tennis balls around your house.
Yes.
Because they were the perfect
cricket.
Beach cricket, backyard cricket. You'd shave one side of your... Yeah, Tiggy. You shave one side of your tennis ball, and it would swing like a swing bowler. Just the perfect item. Labrador dogs love chasing them.
They're great. But you know what we had for a while? Totem tennis. Oh,
I'm gonna say overrated. Overrated?
No.
You loved it.
Play for hours, just that.
But hang on, now, let me get it straight. I think there were two settings on the totem tennis. There was, it just goes round and round and round, and you keep on whacking it. Then there was the corkscrew scenario where you had to play against someone. You had to get it to go up or down.
Yes.
If you were going, so I'm going that way, I'm going down, you go that way, you're going up. But I could never get into a rhythm with it. Would you get into a rhythm with it?
Yeah, I love it. We would play it. Like a year ago, we were playing in the backyard. It's great, but... I remember as a kid, my brother upending it and using it as a spear on me.
Because he just wasn't happy with you.
Wasn't happy.
I would say that I think the garage wall up the sideway with a concrete driveway is better than totem tennis. Because it's good for cricket, it's good for tennis, and as I've always said, you can be any player in the world, but you will never beat the garage wall, because the garage wall always hits it back.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's that's a good thing about having concrete in your backyard. If you've got any, that is a good thing. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
we don't have that though. You've got grass.
Yeah, balls coming. Yeah, balls coming over your fence. You a good? What do you do?
Well, we're more the people, the family that kick the balls over their fences, because on either side, their kids are growing up. So
do you jump the fence to get the ball back? Do you hope that the neighbours are going to throw one back? What do you do?
Oh, my youngest son will jump the fence sometimes.
He will jump the fence? Yes. Really? Oh, that's fantastic. I love that.
But then what happens with the neighbours over the back? They've got even littler kids. They go, I think we've got one of our balls in your backyard. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure it is. I'm like, I've had a look. It's not there. Oh, you know what I mean? Like the accusing of the, you know, stealing their ball. Like, it's not there.
And how are they? Are they coming to the front door? Are they calling you? What are they doing? Head over the fence?
Yeah, front door, back. Front door. Just yell over the back fence.
Because we have some quality balls coming over our fence. We've got soccer balls. We've got some nice little footballs. And, you know, having a grandchild around, it's pretty tempting to, you know,
keep them.
But I'm the good guy. And sometimes, because we've got a few high trees, and I'm never sure about the big throw. Because if I go the big throw, I could throw it through a window.
Well, that's it.
So I'm tending to go the gentle drop over the fence. And,
I've met people with her. So we got a, you know, footy, and we kick it in the backyard. And once it went over the alleyway into the next to the drunk guy where the drunk guy lives from my previous story.
No.
And so I'm like, I hope it's not in his house. I don't want to interact with him. What are you bums doing? But then it was in the house next to him, who I'd never met, and they invited us in, and we met their adult son.
Really?
I have not seen them since, but they're lovely people. Yeah.
So that's interesting. That's an interesting, you know, start to a thriller or maybe something sexual, where you throw the ball over your fence and just go get into someone else's backyard and go, I'm just getting my cricket ball. Hi, I'm free now. Perhaps we can get together and have a cup of tea and a scone or something. Anyway, maybe it's my perverse mind. What else can we say about what about strawberries and cream at Wimbledon?
Oh, tennis, yeah. I've never had it. I've never been to Wimbledon.
Never been to Wimbledon? No.
Well, we should have a crack because...
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, let's have some thinking music, I reckon. Yeah.
So we could have... How about have John McEnroe cracking it?
Oh, he's funny.
What does he say? You cannot be serious!
You cannot be serious!
Let's have that. We could have a bit of David Attenborough doing a bit of voiceover.
David Attenborough.
We could
voiceover.
How about you and I are at the tennis?
Right, okay.
And do we go to the and we're watching the tennis and David Attenborough's there.
Oh, wow. Watching.
He's sitting because you know you do a bit of star spotting.
Well, and hopefully Courtney can put in the quiet please, which I love.
I love that
in the tennis. Yeah, quiet please.
Yeah. You mean
you know what struck me about the tennis when I went that I hadn't how colourful it is these days, because when you remember tennis in the 70s, they all just wore white, didn't they? Now there's so many different coloured outfits. I know it's a small point.
Well, Wimbledon, you still are restricted a little bit to the white.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to the white and the...
Oh, Melbourne Open wasn't. It was just the Australian Open.
Yeah, but that's a lot of advertising. I'm not sure there's any advertising on the court for
that's
Wimbledon.
That's interesting.
Which I found interesting when I went to the Olympics. When I walked into the arena, there was zero advertising. Which was great. It was just... You realise how much that infiltrates your, you know...
Exactly. And yet the IOC who run the Olympics are very dodgy. So I know they haven't got advertising into their world.
But they're being dodgy the way that they're, you know. But allegedly.
We don't want to be sued by Sam Aranchi or whatever his name is.
He's a big listener to this show.
And Trump. Did you hear they were slagging you off on there? Well, Donald, you got a lot of time.
So we'll be at the tennis, I reckon we see Dave. Are there any other? And we'll spot some others. Can we have? We need some dingle dingle music.
Okay, go.
Thank you. Oh, g'day, Dave. Didn't realise you were coming. I didn't realise you were a tennis fan. Good game.
Oh, good game. I'm not so much a tennis fan, but that's my new partner out there. Yuri Offo Magatangatov. She's my new girlfriend.
Really? She's a good player.
I left her wife and the kids. Yeah,
she's for really... her. Are you? And how did you come to meet her?
Here at the tennis. She's Russian, and I speak a bit of Russian. We're at the buffet. Struck up a conversation.
At the buffet.
But she's going to probably beat the Williams. Won't probably beat her. Probably number one.
That's a good shot. Is that her there, is it? Let's wait.
I'll give her away.
She's waving. That's lovely. Hey, look. Behind her.
What's that?
That bloke. About 4 hours back.
Oh, my God. Is that
Hughie? What's his name? No, it's not Hughie. Is it Daryl Summers? not Daryl Summers.
It's Peter Hallier.
It's Peter, no. It's David.
Gary Bickmore.
It's David Attenborough.
Oh, wow. Is he here at the tennis?
Yeah, let's... Hey, Dave. How are you, mate?
Love your work. I don't care what they say. There's no animation in your... don't worry. He's going thumbs up. I reckon it's all rigid inch. Doing great for a 94-year-old.
Hang on. Let's sit a bit closer to him and see what he's saying. We'll just sit behind him.
Hang on.
Excuse me. Sorry, Pete.
Dave goes out.
We've got to sit down. Okay. Yeah, that's my partner. Lenny, what's he saying, Glenn? Can you hear him? What's he saying? Here they are, two middle-aged men at the tennis. Leering at the players, look at them, surrounded by B-grade celebrities. Oh, gee, I think he's talking about us.
Oh, no.
It's offensive.
Oh, yeah, your girlfriend's turned to be... Oh, because we made too much noise. Oh, she's cracked it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Russian swear words. Hang on, little kid wants to sit next to you. Yeah, you can sit next to Glenn Robbins. There you go, young man.
Let's go, Ozzy, let's go. Let's go, Ozzy, let's go.
Hey, mate.
Boo.
Where are you from?
I'm from a hospital.
Well, you can't be doing that sort of stuff. Security. got a kid down here that needs to be taken out. Dave. Yeah, don't worry about it, Dave. Hey, just go sit next to Dave over there. He'll tell you some stories about wildlife.
Let's go, Ozzy. Let's go.
Oh, wow. There we go. I was right there.
There you go. Wow. It was all happening at the tennis. Jeez.
I
would love to go to the tennis with Dave, with you and I. Stuff just happens. That's great.
Incredible.
Okay, ready for a crack now? I have got this worked out.
Yeah, go on. What?
I reckon David Attenborough was on, because it's green tennis balls, isn't it? Not just tennis balls. It's green tennis balls.
Yeah.
And David Attenborough. So I reckon he's, because black and white television, it was hard to see the ball. I reckon he's decided that they should be green, but then again, it's black and white, so that's a dumb idea.
What did they used to be?
They used to be white. I reckon he's come up with the idea to change the colour of the ball.
Wow.
Maybe because of black and white, or maybe... Oh, because it's the same colour as a tree frog, which is very, very... you can see it quite easily. So there's something about the green that they make the balls that relates to the wildlife. Okay, I've said it.
Right.
And he came up with that idea because he had something to do with Wimbledon.
I reckon he has campaigned against... He's got tennis balls banned in certain countries because they're the thing that kill whales.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's really good.
You cut open a whale and you find a tennis ball. It's more slobbery than a Labrador has been on it.
Oh, that's good. I think you've got it, actually.
All right, Sam, what's the answer?
When David Attenborough was controller of BBC Two television station, he suggested that tennis balls should be coloured a yellowy green so that people watching at home could see them. Subsequent studies found that the yellowy green colour was best for viewing and is still used today.
Ah!
You're half right.
So he's... good on you, David. He's gone, green's better to see on TV.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Wasn't there a problem that they had with that snooker when they used to do Pot Black?
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, yeah. Pot Black was because you got all the different coloured balls in Pot Black, and they used to telecast the snooker, and no one could tell what the... And there's that famous piece of commentary. It says, if you're watching in colour, he's going for the blue. And if you're watching in black and white, he's going for the blue. Oh, I don't know. It contradicted itself. Yeah. Anyway, oh, there you go. That's really interesting.
Mm.
Is there anything else we know about David Attenborough? I know that he doesn't own a car.
Well, 94, you probably get it taken off you, I suggest.
Yeah,
I don't reckon there's many 94-year-olds driving around. Do you reckon? Or my dad's 85 next week, and he's driving a car. So
yeah, Selena's dad's 91, and he's still driving. He's still driving.
Okay, yeah. Should we put out a public warning of where these men live and just to avoid them?
Don't you reckon that?
If you're in the Mitcham area of Melbourne, be wary of Kev and his Chimera or whatever he's got.
They would be highly offended, but if you are over 85 and driving, should you not have like a P plate? Should you not have a...
Yes.
An A plate that says meaning age. Because sometimes I have someone in front of me, I go, come on, mate, or whatever. Then you cruise up next to them and you realise that it's a 85-year-old woman. You go, no problem at all. You do whatever you want to do. Take as much time as you want.
Yeah. But
behind them, you don't know that. And if you've been so rude as to toot them, then you go, and then you feel really bad. You feel like going, oh, I shouldn't have done it.
They could have a P plate for pensioner, couldn't they? P for pensioner.
P for pensioner, O for old, or
O-F.
ND, ND nearly ND. Dead, nearly dead.
OF, old fucker. Oh, it's funny one of those OFs.
Yeah, because you can. The thing is, you toot them, and they can't hear you. I mean, so it's just you know. So
it used to be the lawn bowls hat on the back would be the giveaway, wouldn't it? Remember the lawn bowls hat?
That's right.
It was a giveaway.
Yeah.
But now. Yeah, we need even a sticker, a bumper sticker. Old, like baby on board, old person on board.
Old person driving.
Old bugger, old coot driving. Yeah. Yes.
Old coot driving. Yeah.
I was in a war, back off. You know,
absolutely.
We've got a lot of ideas. Look, when the police turn up tonight for the primary school music alarm, I'll let them know that there's a few ideas on the board for them.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't wear your I've seen you wear your security hat if you've ever tuned in.
Yes.
Yeah, so I reckon you are self-elected school security.
Or at Neighbourhood Watch.
Yeah.
Neighbourhood Watch. Yeah. At the very least. Yeah. Crossing Guard.
Yeah.
Local policeman. Vigilante. Yeah. I'm going to get a gun. I'm going to open carry an air rifle. Just wander around.
You've got a gun? Yeah, I'm allowed to. I'm the community-minded.
Imagine the cops in America rocking up to places and situations like that, and there's people just with open arms standing there. It'd be so frightening, wouldn't it, as a cop? Yeah. I suppose you're used to it, though.
Well, Russell Coit is based on someone I saw one time. I was driving somewhere, and a guy just self-elected he was going to direct traffic. And as I pulled up, as I closed down, he goes, got a bike, just run off the road here, just get you to pull it around. I'm going, sorry, who are you? Get you to pull it round up there and just take it round up over there. Sorry, where's you? Sorry. No one told you that you were Mr. Plod, you know.
Hey, we know these days the only people that can direct traffic are attractive women in high vis, because that's what they seem to employ, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to be inappropriate, but you're spot on.
If Picture Magazine was around, they'd be doing a spread, that's for sure.
Oh, stop it, Dave, stop it. You know better than that.
High views, traffic girls.
Dave, that's just
You
did. You did.
Bikinis.
What? Oh, we're going to go down.
You'll get cancelled along with me. I'm just saying, it would happen. It would happen if it was still... Dave, Zoo Magazine.
What do you call it? We're going to get... Scrolled. What do you call it? No.
If Zoo Magazine was still around, that would be a feature.
Oh!
Yeah. Cancelled. O'Neill and Robbins cancelled. Well, it's been good doing it anyway, Glenn.
I can just see you sitting in the car thumbing a Zoo Magazine with your strawberries and cream at the tennis.
Yeah, my shorty pajamas. Oh.